speak with intention. Going forward, I want you to speak. God's already showing me how it works into the message. I want you to speak with a clear commitment to what you're speaking in this season. I want you to be really mindful of your pride, the need to defend yourselves, because sometimes the need to defend yourself is the need to not be corrected, and the need to not be corrected means the need to not be put in the place where your blessings are. Remember, I said correction is redirection.
That's right.
And if you're not willing to be redirected, that means you're going to still keep heading down the wrong road.
That's right.
So be mindful of, you know, I've received some corrections in the past couple of months. Some from people, some from God. And some I didn't feel, and I said this last week, I didn't feel would justify corrections. But I still said, well, but let me go to you, Father, and make sure. I don't know if you listened to last week's message, but I went very hard on that. Just because it feels and seems right to me don't mean it's right. A man in his own mind, in his own heart. And you can believe that your intentions are well until God begins to unpack them in front of you and you go, oh. So he told me to write that list. I put that list off for years. Finally sat down and wrote it, and soon I finished writing, he said, put the numbers next to it. And by him asking me to do that showed me that what I said I believed and what I really did believe did not line up. And the fact that you believe it is not enough to get you a breakthrough. How many people can relate to what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Just because you believe it don't mean you believe it. You know, you could give mental assent to something but not really believe it. You go, yeah, that's good. That makes sense. Well, the Bible does say that. But let's look inside and see what we really believe, and we don't. We believe God could do that for somebody. I'm prophesying over you today that what I saw happen there, and I claimed it for me, I'm claiming it for you. Now faith is the substance. I'm tired of that future faith, someday faith, one day over the rainbow, by and by, God gonna move, you never know. No, I'm done with that. If it's right and it's righteous and it's God and my heart is right before God, it's now.
Amen.
I curse that spirit of delay.
Amen.
Tell me I don't have a right to say that. I curse that spirit of delay. And I know some religious people will be or have their underwear up their butt me saying that right now. But let me say this to you. The angel said to that prophet, I left immediately with your prayer. But the angel of delay, the prince of Persia, kept me from coming. But the answer was immediate. I left immediately with your prayer. But I got stuck up with a spirit of delay. So now what are we supposed to mean? Well, see, sometimes the prince of Persia will stand you. No, you will rebuke the devourer. You will bind the hands of the devil. You will pull them down. Well, then I speak, your power, prince of Persia, is broken in my life. You cannot withstand the move of God on me another day.
Hallelujah.
No, I don't work for you, prince of Persia. You're not my daddy. You're not even my cousin. You have no right in my situation. My Jesus. I don't receive the spirit of delay. And I've been watching daddy move. Now faith is the substance. Jesus. Oh, somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My faith. Now, and God you know, let me be a part of something again. And when he let me be a part of something like that, I'm like, okay, well, you did that for me to see. Well, then I ain't going to just see it no more. I'm going to have that. You know why I can say that? Because he's no respecter of persons. I throw that in God's face all the time. He ain't never got upset with me about it. I said, God, you did that for this person. Your word said you no respecter of person. I received that then for me. I want equal opportunity. And saints, that's what it is. It's equal opportunity. The opportunity is available. But we have to apply. We have to be in a place to receive it. We have to fill out the application for them instant moves of God. Like I said, I don't know what she did or how she did it. And I don't even really care to know what she did and how she did it. I know the instruction God gave me to give her. I told her, first of all, to watch your mouth, watch your expectations. I gave her some script, gave her the book, Prayers That Avail Much. I said, stop confessing some of this stuff and stop trying to, quote unquote, stand. Because sometimes standing in memory is not good. The scriptures you memorize, but they're no longer in your spirit, they're just in your thoughts. Oh, you don't want to have this conversation. You know, sometimes we know what it says, but it ain't in our spirit anymore. It's just in our memory. I know the Bible says this, and what does it mean? I didn't know the Bible says it. Well, you better dig, because you got to get before God, because his word is spirit and life, not your memory. And it's what comes out of your spirit. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. See, you can confess with your mouth and not believe in your heart. Sons of Sceva, they had that situation. Come out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. They had the right word in their mouth, but they have the right thing in their heart. And the devil whipped their behinds. Beat them naked. That's destitution. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said. They beat them. He beat them and ran them out naked. It wasn't just a physical wound. It was when somebody run you out naked, that's a sign of destitution, stripped you of everything. Poverty and everything mixed in that. Just throwing up the name of stuff, but you don't really believe it or have a commitment to it in your heart. I didn't plan to share any of this today, but it's hot on the news press. Here it is. Hide the word in my heart that I don't sin against him. See, not in my mouth. It's in your heart. It's not the word that you remember. It's the word that you know in your heart. The word, oh, Jesus, you can got me, give me the shout up in here. It's that word in your heart. And when God made me make my list, I came to realize there was a lot of word in my mouth, but a lot it was not in my heart. I know what scripture I'm supposed to say when pressure comes, but is it in your heart anymore? God told me this a long time ago, and I say this before you, and I put it down right before you, and I make a decree and a declaration today. The word is not to be used as a talisman. Who don't know what a talisman is? Okay, I want to make sure. It's a charm. Think there's power in it. You hold it in your hand. Then people get these crystals and lay them on them, and they're supposed to heal them. They're talismans. Even the cross can be a talisman for real. People wearing their cross. You're right, Mike. You're straight up. They're little Christian symbols and statues in their houses and all. But talismans are usually something that you can carry or wear or hold in your hand. The word is not to be used like that. It's not a magic word that makes things change. It's spirit and life. And if it ain't coming out of your spirit, you just using it like a charm and it's not going to work. God, you wanted it said, so there it is. Isaiah chapter 53. We're still in the series, but the title of today's message is Healed and Whole. Healed and whole.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you to start the message, healed and whole are two different things. And one without the other, it's not fun. You can be healed, but if you're not made whole, you can be re-sicked. If you just get a healing, but you're not made whole in the area where the enemy was able to get in and make you sick, you can be reinfected. Somebody here knows what I'm talking about. I don't like being delivered like I'm ordering something from Grubhub where I get it today, but then tomorrow I'm right back hungry. I don't like that kind of deliverance. I want that permanent deliverance that stays forever and ever and ever. Amen. I want to talk about what God began to show me in this, I guess in this part of the season. He said, I want you to sprinkle this in from time to time just to keep everybody engaged or excited. And here's what he began to show me. He said, I want you to talk about for a little bit the benefits of obedience. Not just the act, because I've been putting it in there, but God said, I want you to put an emphasis on it today about why obedience is so important for you. I started this message by saying obedience is not for you to be good with God or for God to be happy or so you keep from getting God upset. Obedience is for you. It's for your benefit, not for his. Not because he just wants to be a control freak and tell you what to do. But being in obedience allows you to line up with the flow of his blessings. So when you just, okay, saints, listen to me now. He takes pleasure in what? The prosperity of who? Say me. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of
me.
He does, his servant. Okay, so here's what I'm saying to you. I don't know if you're ready for this, but this is powerful. Ready? If we are not in a position where God can prosper us, we give him, we steal the opportunity from him to have pleasure. I want him to have all the pleasure, all the joy and pleasure he can have with this life right here. If he takes pleasure in my prosperity, then to the opposite, he must not feel good about my poverty.
That's right.
Oh, come on, can we have this conversation?
Yeah.
It must grieve him.
Yeah.
If he takes pleasure in prosperity, it must grieve him in my poverty. Spiritual, financial, physical, emotional, whatever. Any kind of poverty got to make him feel kind of sucky. I would say I would feel like that about my kid, wouldn't you? Relative, whatever. Especially your kid. Your kid grow up to be some drug addict and throwing their lives away and sleeping in the street. Ain't nobody say, I'm so proud of my baby. He handled them drugs well, though. No. But when they do well, you take pleasure.
Yeah.
Makes you feel good and happy as a parent. Makes you feel proud like you did something right even if you ain't really do nothing. I see, no, that's true. I've seen parents proud of success of their kids that they left. You ran off in the street and left the kid. Now the kid's successful on TV and here you come. That's my baby. You ain't have nothing to do with it. But you still have that pride. It's my seed though. You are God's seed. And he takes pleasure in you succeeding. He takes pleasure in you prospering. And me not prospering robs God of the opportunity to receive pleasure. And I haven't seen scriptures where God takes pleasure but that one. Now look at a lot of people you know in the body of Christ and tell me, are they bringing God pleasure or grief? So, you can get healed and neglect the part of being made whole. The woman with the issue of blood's experience was, she was healed, and then he identified what made her whole. What did he say? Say it loud.
Faith.
Your faith has made you whole. Didn't say he didn't say healed, even though we know that's true. But he said whole, which is different. Are you with me in Isaiah 53?
Yes.
Verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. What does that mean? I'm going to talk about that a minute. He said, we esteemed him as stricken. We assumed that based on what he looked like, we weren't there. But this is the scripture talking about Jesus before he even came. They looked at, are you listening to me? This is important what I'm about to say because it sets up the message in a whole different way here. People who didn't understand, and people from back then under the law had one understanding. If you're going through something like this, what's the case? What's going on? Speak out. What? Somebody sinned. Somebody did wrong. Your life must have been screwed up. When he asked him about the blind man, who sinned? Was it him? Was it his parents? Jesus said, none, but the works of God will be glorified today. So, they esteem Jesus. Think about it. Spit at him. They hit him. You be the son of God. Bring yourself down off of there since you say you of God. Because in the eyes of man, when we see the move of God, sometimes we assume it's a curse. God ended that relationship with you and somebody, got them out your life.
It must have been something I did wrong.
You esteem as something stricken sometime and smitten when it might have been the perfect plan. How many things that God had to wrestle out your hand and take out of your life before you realize, thank you, Lord. The untrained eye doesn't see the move of God. I don't know if you're ready for me today. Yeah, you can go ahead and jot that down. I'm going to give you a minute just to marinate in that a little bit. The untrained eye misses the move of God. So I've had people come in my life to do business with me, and people come to me and bought me opportunities and still do. And I say, I don't want to do that. And God said, yes, you do. But this guy's an idiot. Yeah, but he's got something. That idiot got something you need. Go ahead and work with him. I'll tell you when to get in. I'll tell you when to get out. Stop focusing on what an idiot he is. You're there for a purpose, not to judge his character or be concerned about his behavior.
Come on and preach.
Amen.
Come on and preach.
Well, I'm gonna share the good news with him. He said you can share all that you want with him. His mind is made up. Then I told you the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Just be where I put you. I told you I don't know if you're ready for me today. But you better get ready real quick.
Amen.
Who won it? Okay. So I'm learning now to be less crucial in my observation or immediately looking for what the enemy is up to. You know, church folk is good at that. Devil's always busy. Well, you always looking at what the devil doing. You his kid? Why aren't you looking for what God is doing? I'm just, before I go any further, just on my spirit, just to stop and say this for you guys or somebody listening online. What's going on in your life right now that you feel discomfort about, that you're trying to get rid of, and God, no matter how you pray, won't move it? Well, all right, speak, Holy Spirit. Maybe you're looking at it wrong.
Come on.
Maybe you're not understanding what it's there for. Maybe there's some jewels in there that you, while you're so busy focusing on how the person irritates you, you're missing what God is doing.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah. Learn what you were sent to learn. Get what you were sent to get. How many college students in here? Did you like all your teachers? But did you stay in that class?
Yeah.
All right now, why'd you stay in the class? It ain't a love fest all the time. They looked at Jesus and they saw what he was going through, and they prophesied ahead of time that they would esteem him smitten and stricken of God, being judged and being hated by the very God that he very actually was, that came to show the love. So let's understand this principle before we go forward. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. But we thought he was being judged for his own actions. Yeah, he was being in some form, in the eyes of man, stricken and smitten. But not because of what he did, but because of what we did. Come on now. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. What happened? Now again, this is Old Testament. So this is prophetic. What happened or happens in the eyes of God when he sends deliverance your way? And what happens in the eyes of man, or in the eyes, or in your own eyes? What does deliverance from God really look like, and do you even know? I've seen the move of God most times in hindsight. We don't see God coming, but we still got our face hidden in the cliff of the mountain. We see the back as he passes. But God has called us to fellowship. And you don't fellowship with my back. You fellowship with my face. You talk behind my back, good or bad, doesn't matter. But you fellowship with my face. The church has to be careful not to only recognize the hand of God after he's done. The hand of God is the things you ask for and you expect him to deliver. And you can live your life seeking the hand of God and never learn the face.
Preach, Pastor. Come on.
Always seeking God for his hand is something that we've learned over time, but it needs to stop. I'm talking about obedience.
Amen. Amen.
Face is fellowship. Mm-hmm. Hand is provision.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
We're always seeking the hand without the face. So now we only know God after he passes in the manifestation of things. Let me tell you why there's a danger to this, if you haven't already figured it out. That means your life will be filled with grief, and you will only know to recognize God after he's passed. Where if you're in his face and in his presence, grief goes around you. You see him coming, you see him deliver it, and you get to watch him as he walks off, knowing that he's coming right back around again. I don't want to see his back at all. If he's moving, I'm going like this. I want to be in your face. He was wounded for my sins, my transgressions, my shortcomings. He was wounded for my iniquities. Let's just take this for a minute. Let's talk about a transgression. And let's talk about an iniquity and let's break it down. Oh, you didn't think I was going there today? Yes, I am. Because we read these scriptures and we say transgression, iniquities, and you know, all the same thing. How many of you know the difference between a transgression and iniquity? How many of you even know what any one of them mean? You understand what I'm saying? It's a nice scripture to quote. But how is it in your spirit and you don't even know what it is? So let's talk about a transgression. What is our transgression? Does anybody have any idea? Yes. Absolutely not. But it sounds right in the sentence. But absolutely, it's not a sinful act. No, it's not. Absolutely not. No, it's not a misstep. Absolutely not. See, that's why you have me as a pastor.
Okay.
Thank God for me.
So, because that's what I thought it was. I looked it up.
Okay.
So it says an act that goes against a law, rule, or order of honor, an offense.
It's a transgression. It's literally what it is. It's what they did to the Capitol.
Okay.
It's a willful rebellion. It's a decision to go against what you know is true. That ain't an accident. That ain't a misstep. Misstep is a mistake. This is decided. He was wounded for that. For your willful decision to disobey. That's a jump and shout moment. Because, I mean, if he only covered me when I made mistakes, this is a lot of times I'm going to be in trouble because I didn't make a mistake. I willfully did wrong. Anybody know about some transgressions up in here? It's a rebellion. It's a rebellion. It's a transgression. It's a rebellion. It's, I know what you said, but I'm doing this anyway.
Okay.
So why was he wounded for that? Think about it. You had little children, and if you've been parents, you had little kids. Or if you even had to babysit somebody's niece, their niece and nephew or something. If they transgress, what's the response? Punishment, consequence, spanking, whatever it is you do. There's wounds that go to the transgression. I know now you can't say, well, you know, we give them a time out. Back then, the Bible said you get the switch and you light up that hiney. Okay? So, we're not going to go back and forth with those who want to debate one side or another. I don't understand psychology with a 2 or 3 year old. Now, do you understand the detriment of what you're doing? 2 or 3 year old? They don't understand that. Time out? They don't understand that. They don't know what time is. They know what that sting on the hand feels like. And they're like, okay, so that equals that. I don't like that. I don't like that. So I won't do that. So the wound for your transgression means your willful disconduct, there was a wound that you should receive as a result of that, and he took that. Meaning when the devil's running up on you and smacking you around and wounding you, and you accepting that it must be God because I did something wrong, I have to say to you, according to this word, he was wounded for my transgressions, so therefore the enemy don't have the right to wound me.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Stop accepting that as from Father. It's not. These are the benefits
Hallelujah.
Of obedience. I'm so grateful. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. What's my iniquities? Let's talk about the iniquities. Yes, Mike. Yeah. Yeah, it's true, but it's deeper. It's a behavior, but deeper. You know, nobody? You're giving up? Esther, you got something? Huh? Well, she said where the mistakes come in. No. Oh, yeah, got you. No.
Like
Lindsay just said it. She says, like, baked in sin. It's that thing that's, yeah. That's that thing that you've been doing it so long that it's cooked in. It's mixed into the ingredients now. That leaven is all up in there. You know, that whatever, be it porn or whatever, and you can't stop. That's sin in you that just, I like that sin. I've been doing that a long time. You're telling me I can't. I don't know about that. I don't know. I can't get drunk on the weekends. I like getting drunk. It's ruining your whole life. I don't care. I can't help it. Lindsay said it's baked in. Deep down cooked browns and served. Hot scene. Bruised for the baked in ones. I want you to understand this. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The point of this conversation is this. Heal versus whole. Listen to me close. This is not talking about a God who loves you and cares about you when you make your little boo-boos. He picks you up. He's saying no. When you stink deep down, baked in sin and revolt and choose to go wrong, I took that.
Hallelujah.
I took that. I took that. I made provision for that.
Hey.
I knew that there was some baked in, cooked deep down sin. I knew you were going to revolt and go against me anyway, no matter what. But I still. But I still. But I still. And he still does. This is the love of God that people need to talk about. He said, I'm not asking you to obey me because I want to whip you around. I want to get you to the place that you can understand that this is how much love. Wounds for my transgressions took those. My willful rebellion, revolt. Bruised of our peace, now it should make more sense. Baked in willful disobedience, and as a result, our peace becomes chastised. And he says, and even that I took. So the reward for those actions, even those I stand in front of. Why would I not obey him? Discipline, correction, even the discipline and the correction or the wounds or the bruises that should have come to us, he took that, and he's not even talking about that. He's talking about, oh, watch this, of your peace. No, you didn't catch that. You didn't catch that. You went right there. He said, the wounds or the beating you should be getting for what you did, he took that. To the point that he don't even want your peace to be chastised.
Hallelujah. Wow. Hallelujah.
The chastisement of your peace. He said, I don't want him touching you. I don't want him beating you. I don't want him stripping you. I don't even want your peace being removed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Even though you rebel. Even though you got that baked in deep down sin. How many of you ever got delivered in guilt and shame? It doesn't happen. It does. Don't put your hands down. That's a lie. Guilt and shame only made you feel more guilt and shame. You behaved for a minute. As soon as the guilt and shame left, you went right back to being what you was. Because God don't deliver through guilt and shame. He delivers the way we're reading today. Guilt and shame makes you feel bad. But it don't deliver you, because as you're feeling guilt and shame, the Holy Spirit moves right here to remove the chastisement of your peace. And once it's removed and you don't feel guilt and shame, you go right back, because you might be healed, but you're not whole. My point is, God, don't try to let God work through shame and guilt, because he's not going to do it, because that's a temporary fix. Behaving because you feel guilty is not a fix. How you doing today? And by the chastisement of my peace is on him. So he picks on your peace. You can say, well, Jesus, he covered that. My peace is purchased. He took the punishment, and my peace is purchased. You are healed. By his stripes, you are healed. I'm going to blow your mind. The world... And by his stripes, you are healed. Misused or halfway presented my whole life was the word healed. The word healed in Hebrew is Rapha. How many of you have used Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer? But what you thought it meant was physical healing. It's total healing. Chastisement of peace, stripes, bruises, baked in stuff, healer of all of it. Total transgressions, total iniquities, total peace being chastised, Rapha, the God who heals all of it. No stone unturned. So instead of you walking around trying to wrestle stuff out of the devil's hands, just leave it in Rapha's hands. So now you see in some translations, and you see when they say it in the New Testament, healed and made whole. Because Rapha is complete. If you're just talking about the point of physical healing, that's one side, that's one dimension. But when you bring Rapha into it, Jehovah Rapha, that's a complete package.
Hallelujah.
Nothing left undone. God didn't call you to be in shame. God didn't call you to be in guilt. God didn't deliver you or send Christ so that you still have to struggle with your iniquities as your cross to bear, people say. And then you got to fight with your life and go from guilt to fall, to guilt to fall, to cry, repent, shame, do it again, cry, shame, guilt. For in this evil demonic cycle that's not of God. He dealt with all of it. Wounded for transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, the chastisement of your peace, all covered by Rapha.
Hallelujah.
My prayer right now for all of us, that we don't walk around with shame, guilt, condemnation, failure, or anything else from this moment forward. We set our face like flint toward the kingdom because all of that was paid for. All of it was paid for. Well, this person didn't forgive me. It doesn't matter. God forgives you. Can you forgive you? I'm going to end on saying this. I've come to a revelation in my life, and it's getting clearer and clearer to me every day, and Daddy woke me up and showed me this. He said, people don't forgive you because you don't forgive you.
Come on.
And you continue to bring to yourself what you expect. You draw to yourself what you believe you deserve. You waiting for somebody to compliment you for you to feel good? Then you're asking yourself to be insulted. You expecting somebody to say, I love you, for you to feel love? Then you're asking to be rejected and hated. Because you've put in your faith in the realm of the flesh, in the realm of emotion, where the devil has full play. But if I have my total peace and acceptance in him, my Rapha, my healing in him, and I know what I know in him. If you don't like me or respond well to me, it doesn't matter. But what I found is when you know who you are and you walk in that expectation, people treat you like that. They treat you like you expect to be treated. According to your faith, be it unto you. So now I go in places and have phone calls and meetings and business, and most of it's Zoom stuff, and I already know. What's up in my mouth is on. It's on. I'm taking over. Because your anointing's in me. And they don't need to see me, and they don't need to like me or accept me, but they're going to see that anointing. And they're going to be moved by that anointing, and the stuff that's going to come out of my mouth is going to be powerful, and you're going to have your way through it. And it happens every time. I don't care if I'm on there 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 5 seconds. Walk up in meetings and walk out with people throwing deals. So what can we talk about? How can we meet? What can we do? And I expect that now. I never expected that before. I expect that now. Because of God, the same way you anointed me to speak up here, you anointed me to speak everywhere. And once you open the door for me in this field and you show me that I have the words of knowledge in my mouth, I know they're going to work and translate everywhere. You spoke that over me 30 years ago to Prophet Godfrey, that would be my calling. And I would say, yes, amen to that. It was a confession. It was never a declaration. It is now.
Amen.
You heard me say, in 6 months, I will be mastered in this. And come the new year, I will have this and do that. You heard me say it. I understand. I'm not saying that like, oh, he's making faith confessions. Stand with him. When I said about that house, they won't be able to live in it. I didn't even know if I believed that or not, but I said it. I drove by there. Nobody live in that house. I thought they moved in, was ready to sell it already. They don't even live there. Watch your words. Speak of yourself according to this. By his stripes, the bruises he took for you, you're complete. You're Rapha. Not just Jehovah Rapha. You are Rapha. Say it. That's what it says. By his stripes, you are Rapha. I'm not making it up. With his stripes, we are Rapha. That's one of the names of God. Well, he shared it with you. He said, you are Rapha. Some of you are, that's going to hit you in the middle of the night. You're going to jump up in the middle of the night screaming. This is going to click. This is one of them things that's going to keep speaking to you all week. This is going to click. I am Rapha. I am healed and whole from a God perspective, not from an earth perspective.
Hallelujah.
So let me end it on this note. Your transgressions covered. The stuff you did rebelliously, planned, covered. Your iniquities, the sins that deep down in there, been in there so long, you didn't even know you can get them out. Dealt with. The punishment for those taken.
Hallelujah.
Peace being harassed because of those transgressions and iniquities.
Hallelujah.
Dealt with. And because of the bruises he took for you and the stripes he took for you, you are Rapha. Father, we thank you today. We praise you for your word and the insights and the power that comes from your words. We thank you for the truth that makes the captive free. We thank you, Lord God, that it doesn't take forever for us to hear from you. We hear from you right now. We accept your truth, your peace, and your deliverance right now. We should not be held back another day. We thank you, Lord God, that each and every person here and everybody listening, anybody who will hear this in the future, will be forever changed by this word. This word will now be baked in instead of the iniquities. This word will be baked in. This truth, this revelation will be baked in. It will be so steep in us that we can't shake it. And we will never again walk in the shame and the guilt and the condemnation that the enemy tries to constantly throw at us. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. Your word says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Redeemed, if you don't know what that means, means bought back. Mean that you were purchased by the slave owner and somebody came and purchased you back and God redeemed you from the curse of the law. That's no longer part of your repertoire. It's done. It's no longer part of your portfolio. It's done. And I speak it over each and every person in this room. You are the redeemed of the Lord. You are repurchased. you've been bought back. By the wounds, by the stripes, you were bought back forever in his kingdom, his child, under his protection and divine order. And we're grateful for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.